You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Monday, December 5th, 2022. Southbound. What's ahead for the recently reversed Capline crude oil pipeline? Published by Housley Carr. It's been almost a year since the co-owners of the massive Capline crude oil pipeline initiated southbound service between Patoka, Illinois, and St. James, Louisiana, on what for a half century had been a northbound conduit. How's it working out? So far, so good, it seems. As expected, for the first several months, the volumes of heavy Canadian crude oil flowing down the 632-mile, 40-inch diameter pipeline to the St. James hub were modest. Since June, however, Capline has been offering a temporary incentive rate to attract more heavy oil, and starting December 1st, it's also been offering a temporary buck-a-barrel rate for light oil, too. In today's RBN blog, we discuss the latest Capline developments, the challenges associated with batching heavy and light crude on such a big pipe, and the prospects for much higher flows. As we said a year and a half ago in our four-part part of the planned blog series on the then-impending Capline reversal, the pipeline was a game-changer when it first became operational in August 1968 in that it enabled large volumes of imported oil and offshore Gulf of Mexico, or GOM, production to be transported north to a slew of refineries in the Midwest. The northbound pipeline's capacity, which ramped up to 1.2 million barrels per day by the mid-1980s, was highly utilized for many years, but by the early 2010s the Midwest refineries connected to the Patoka hub had gained access to the increasing volumes of crude available from Western Canada and the Bakken. As a result, they simply didn't need Capline's northbound flows as much as they used to, and volumes on the pipe slowed to less than half, then less than a third, and finally just a sliver of its capacity before northbound ceased in late 2018. Finally, in August 2019, Capline's co-owners, Plains All American, with about a 54% ownership interest, Marathon Petroleum Corporation, or MPC, at about 33%, and BP, at about 13%, announced that they had sanctioned the Capline reversal project, with plans to feed crude into the pipeline at two primary points, the Patoka hub in northern Mississippi, the latter at a proposed interconnection between Capline and an extension of Plains and Valero Energy's Diamond Pipeline from Cushing, Oklahoma, to Memphis. Plans for the Diamond extension from Memphis to the Capline interconnect fell through, though, leaving Capline to focus, at least initially, on flowing only heavy oil south from Patoka. In our Don't You Forget About Me blog series, we provided an in-depth look at the Patoka hub, which has about 20 million barrels of crude storage capacity and which receives heavy Western Canadian crude via Enbridge's mainline system, including Southern Access Extension and Line 6, ExxonMobil and Enbridge's Mustang Pipeline, from Line 6 and TC Energy's Keystone Pipeline, light Bakken crude via the Dakota Access Pipeline, or DAPL and light crude from a variety of Rockies and other sources via Enbridge's Platte Pipeline and MPLX's Ozark Woodpat system from the Cushing Hub. The map in today's blog or the website shows the pipelines out of Patoka, including the smaller diameter pipes to Midwest refineries, Capwood, Shecap, and the pipelines to Lima, Ohio, Robinson, Illinois, Catlettsburg, Kentucky, and the Country Mark Refinery in Mount Vernon, Indiana, as well as the large bore pipelines to the Gulf Coast, namely the Energy Transfer Crude Oil Pipeline, or ECOP, to Nederland, Texas, and Capline to St. James. Note, DAPL and ECOP are co-owned by the same four companies: Energy Transfer, with about a 38% stake, Enbridge, with about 28%, Phillips 66, with 25%, and MPLX with about 9%. As expected, initial southbound volumes on Capline were relatively limited. RBN estimates 100,000 barrels per day plus of heavy Western Canadian crude flowing to St. James and, from there, a majority flowing to Marathon Petroleum's 585,000 barrels per day refinery in Garyville, Louisiana. This has had the effect of reducing Louisiana refinery needs for oil produced in the offshore GOM, thereby making more offshore Gulf crude available for export out of the Louisiana Offshore Oil Port, or LOOP, the only terminal in the U.S. capable of fully loading a very large crude carrier, or VLCC, without reverse lightering. Reverse lightering involves smaller tankers ferrying out and transferring crude to VLCCs in specified areas and deeper waters in the Gulf. According to Capline's tariff, committed shipper rates range from $1.90 per barrel to $2.72 per barrel, depending on the volumes committed to and the duration of the contract. The uncommitted shipper rate is $4.08 per barrel, In June, to help take southbound volumes on Capline to the next level, the pipeline started offering a temporary heavy crude oil volume incentive rate, or HVIR, of $1.95 per barrel to any shipper moving at least 50,000 barrels per day of heavy oil during a given month. For committed shippers, only the incremental barrels beyond their commitment would qualify for the HVIR. Data indicates the HVIR generated good shipper interest. Now, with an eye toward further increasing volumes on Capline and giving shippers another way to get Bakken, Rockies, and other light oil barrels to Louisiana, the pipeline is offering a temporary light crude oil volume incentive rate, or LVIR, of $1 per barrel to shippers who transport at least 25,000 barrels per day of total crude, heavy and or light, during a given month. For reasons we'll get to, the buck-a-barrel rate will only be available if one or more shippers nominate a total of at least 250,000 barrels of light crude for the month. The LVIR, like the HVIR before it, has stirred up interest among shippers. As we see it, the $1 per barrel rate could attract those interested in bringing mid-continent barrels to Louisiana refineries without going through Texas. Light barrels could flow into Patoka on DAPL, Platte and or Ozark Woodpat, then flow down Capline to the St. James Hub for distribution to Louisiana refineries, virtually all of which are connected to St. James. It's also possible that light crude shipped to the hub could be exported out of one of the marine terminals along the Mississippi River. More on the potential for Capline-related exports in a moment. That brings us to a couple of technical matters related to increasing the volumes of heavy oil flowing on Capline and batching heavy and light crude oil through such a long, large diameter pipe. Remember, this 40-inch diameter pipe once moved up to 1.2 million barrels per day, but until recently was utilizing less than 10% of its capacity. At that rate, the pipe only runs part of the time, in start-stop fashion, which means it takes the crude a long time to get from source to destination. The heavy oil that's accounted for the totality of Capline's volume since the pipeline started flowing south last December generally took about 50 days to move from Patoka to St. James, mostly because of the low volumes and the fact that only three pump stations are in place to move the oil along. When Capline was flowing north, there were 16 pump stations in operation. That delivery time lag is a problem for shippers because of the backwardated structure of today's crude market, meaning the price a month in the future is less than the price today. So if it takes 50 days to get to St. James, the shipper is getting hit with the lower next month price. Increasing the flows of heavy oil, thanks to the HVIR, would reduce the delivery time by at least several days and possibly more than a week. Adding incremental light, low-viscosity oil to the volumes being shipped on Capline could reduce shipping time to 30 days or less. But it would have other effects as well, posing an interesting, but manageable, challenge. As we've discussed in a previous blog, it's common practice in the midstream sector to batch slugs of crude oil with different quality characteristics, light and superlight crude, for example, through a pipeline in sequence, typically sending each slug to different tanks at the end of the run to keep them separate. Of course, if some mixing of the batches occurs, especially at the beginning and end of each slug, called the interface, but generally speaking the quality of the batches remains essentially intact. Shipping batches of heavy oil and then light oil is more challenging, partly because their viscosities and their pace of travel through a pipeline are so different. With Capline, we would expect there to be some mixing of the lights and heavies, especially in the first and last 10% of the batches, with the integrity of the middle 80% of the batches holding up well. The 250,000 barrels monthly minimum is designed to ensure there is at least one batch large enough to maintain quality. The blended light and heavy oil at the beginning and end of the batches may well be fine for refiners, who typically blend various oils anyway, and the unmixed middle could be taken by either refineries or exporters. We should add that if shippers or buyers insisted on very minimal mixing, Capline could always add pigs between the batches, see Wu. Pig. Sui. For more on pipeline pigs. The bottom line is that batching heavy and light oils on a big bore pipeline like Capline is very doable, assuming there's sufficient interest from shippers. There's one other important consideration about flows into Louisiana on Capline. What would it take for those volumes to find their way to Loup? Currently, there is no direct pipeline link from St. James to Loup's 72 million barrels crude oil storage facility in Clovelly, Louisiana, which serves as the staging point for exports out of Loup, as well as imports into Loup, via the Loup pipeline. However, there have been a number of proposals to develop a St. James to Clovelly connection, none of which has advanced, including the proposed ACE and Swordfish pipeline projects, the latter of which would primarily use the existing Bonefish pipeline. Another, still active possibility would be running crude from St. James through the Maurepas pipeline from St. James to Norco, Louisiana, and reversing the direction of flow on the Clovelly to Norco pipeline. To be determined is whether piping crude from Patoka to St. James via Capline, then zigzagging it to Clovelly and, ultimately, Loop itself could be cost competitive with the alternative of, say, piping crude on the MarketLink pipeline from Cushing to the Houston and from there to Clovelly on the Zydeco pipeline. MarketLink and Zydeco since July have offered a joint tariff that charges just under $1.84 per barrel to move crude all the way from Cushing, Oklahoma to Clovelly, and from there to Loop for loading onto a VLCC. Also, Zydeco offers a joint tariff from Houston onto a VLCC at Loop for $1 per barrel. As we said, there is currently no direct way to move crude from St. James to Clovelly, so there's nothing to compare to that MarketLink/Zydeco tariff, but we think it is quite possible that a future Patoka to Clovelly link via cap line will come to pass. Exporters also have the option of loading oil onto smaller tankers at a number of river terminals at St. James. The reversal of cap line is a big deal, no doubt about it, and we'll continue to monitor efforts by the pipeline to ramp up its southbound volumes in 2023 and beyond. Southbound was written by Carrie Underwood, David Garcia and Josh Miller and appears as the fifth song on Carrie Underwood's sixth studio album, Cry Pretty. Released as the third single from the album in April 2019, it went to number 3 on the Billboard Country Airplay chart, number 11 on the Hot Country Songs chart, and number 64 on the Hot 100 Singles chart. It has been certified platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America, or RIAA. Underwood first performed the song live at the 54th Academy of Country Music Awards in April 2019. She released a video of the song featuring behind-the-scenes tour footage and a party with friends and family at a dock on Lake Travis in Austin, Texas. Cry Pretty was recorded in 2017-18 at Dark Horse Recording, The Library in Oak Hollow in Nashville, Velvet Basement in Miami, and The Ludoplex in Atlanta. It marked the first co-produced effort by Underwood, who partnered with David Garcia and Jim Johnson on the album. Released in September 2018, the album went to number 1 on both the Billboard 200 Albums chart and the Top Country Albums chart. It has been certified platinum by the RIAA. 4 singles were released from the LP. Carrie Underwood is an American country music singer and songwriter. The Oklahoma native rose to prominence after winning American Idol in 2005. Her single Inside Your Heaven made her the only solo country artist to have a single debut at number 1 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. She has released 9 studio albums, 1 compilation album and 29 singles and has sold over 70 million records worldwide. Underwood has won 16 ACM Awards, 17 American Music Awards, 12 Billboard Music Awards, 16 BMI Awards, 9 CMA Awards and 8 Grammy Awards and is a member of the Oklahoma Hall of Fame and Oklahoma Music Hall of Fame. She continues to record and is currently on the road with her Denim and Rhinestones tour.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.